And welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. I am so excited because it is Friday and my best buddy Wyatt is here with me. And what was great is we were out in Syracuse, New York. We've got five new people up in Syracuse, Rochester, Niagara Falls region, as well as our old standbys towards the Cortland area and Ithaca area. And it's very exciting to see how many people are really interested in the amazing powers of dogs to save humans. You know, people will always ask, like, well, how does the dog, like, find the cancer? How does the dog know when a child has special needs and, you know what to do? That's where we come in. Not trying to change something and make it into something it's not. Not trying to take a dog in 2 weeks thinking you know the dog. There's a lot of work. And the biggest thing for everybody to understand is that it's not us who are the problem. We are not the problem here. Because we know the amazing powers that dogs have to heal and to find cancers and to find narcotics in airports and keeping our children safe and in guiding people who are blind or helping people who are deaf or helping children with autism. We all know that. But what we have to do, and this is what we're going to talk about today, is we have to educate the uninformed and misguided, as I told dear Catherine, who's got Checkers, her service dog, and placed him about 4 years ago. Catherine's doing amazing, of course, because she's an amazing young lady. But it's really important that we not alienate people who could turn into supporters. I see so often people being kind of nasty, and then sorry, rescue people. A lot of you guys, and not all, certainly, but too many for my comfort, are really kind of intimidating and alienating the people around us. When you're dealing with somebody who has a problem and who doesn't understand dogs, which, you know, the people we don't always associate with, but we have to deal with, they may be very nice people who just don't know. And you can't fault somebody for not knowing. That's just ignorant, you know, not knowing. But when people are ignorant and don't want to know, or when they're egotistical or narcissist and people are, you know, trying to overpower and overwhelm those who are asking, or maybe they're not asking, but it's all about teaching. Let's teach people what dogs can do. And I'll guarantee you that our company, United Canine Professionals, and Merlin's Kids, as well as our D3 and SD2 programs, which are geared towards creating a beautiful bond and rescuing dogs from shelters and rescues, rehabilitating them and changing them and turning them into amazing service dogs and therapeutic facilitation dogs, behavioral intervention dogs, and even cancer detection dogs. Now, one of the things I think that most people kind of neglect is when you meet somebody who doesn't like dogs or isn't an animal person, doesn't mean that's a bad person. It just means that that person hasn't had that one special animal who taught that person that dogs and animals are amazing. Normally, when people like a particular type of animal, at least they're good people, they like animals. But I'm more concerned with the people who don't like animals at all. People who are trying to end the ability of people like us from owning dogs. And listen, there's nobody who's a bigger supporter of rescues. Most of our dogs and Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals that we deal with are rescue dogs. But you have to understand that to challenge somebody and to get in that person's face and to say, well, you know, you're an idiot, you don't know, dogs are great, you're not winning for our team. You're not helping our cause. The way you can help our cause is to educate people. And that's what I spent just the last several days up in Syracuse, New York, doing. If you look on our United Canine Professionals, the letter K number 9, United Canine Professionals Facebook page, or on our website, you'll see all of them, but you'll see a bunch of our different interviews through the years. Now, this isn't like, oh, we have one interview in some local paper. You know, this is the USA Today, the New York Times, Daily News, big names, Channel 7. I don't even know how many times we've done ABC. I think that's one of our most common. NBC, CBS, all the different cable, Time Warner, Verizon, Cablevision, because people in general are very interested, even if they're not dog or animal people, they're interested in like, hey, that's kind of weird how, you know, dogs can find cancer. Well, this weekend, when I just got back yesterday, I was up actually during the week in Syracuse. So not only did we meet with an amazing young lady from Corning Glass who's up in that neck of the woods and is really fascinated, and she got to see Wyatt working his magic and diagnosing some people who probably didn't know they had things, and sometimes kind of confirming things that we already knew. But it's fascinating to watch new people who haven't seen this yet and are trying to understand, like, how is it possible? Well, we had a couple of people, including Mike, I won't give your last name, but Mike, who's a firefighter up in Syracuse, who really had never seen it. He likes animals, but he just couldn't understand how would it work. What was an alert going to look like? How was this going to fit in? Because he couldn't understand, like most people can't, that the dogs can actually, smell things so much keener than we can and so much quicker than we can. So when you see people who haven't seen things like this before, and then you see people who are, you know, working on, trying to understand, like, they're not open to it, but sometimes people just don't get it, and that's okay. It's our job not just to educate them, but to also understand that they don't have to think like we do, okay? This isn't a communist country. This is really about making sure that people are educated and they understand, and then letting them make a decision. But I will say it's pretty cool when somebody comes in and says, well, I don't see how this can work, and then Wyatt or Savannah or one of our many dogs ends up finding something on them and saying, hey, you got a, what's the deal with your left knee and your right elbow? Oh, I got gout. Where does it hurt? Oh, my left knee and my right elbow. Wait, how did you know that? Well, how would I know that? We're in the middle of very cool weather now. Everybody's got, you know, heavy winter clothing. And so it's, you know, you have to understand that what's going to happen, like with anything, is as people start to learn things, they start to become more comfortable. And the first thing is getting people comfortable. And that's my mission, is to have people understand and go for our cause. Not just United Canine Professionals, and not just Merlin's Kids, and not just SD2, D3, not just our programs and International Firefighter Cancer Foundation, but showing people something they didn't understand before, because that's how we change the world. You don't change the world by beating people up and telling them they're idiots, you know, or saying, well, what don't you understand about this? Like, what's wrong with you? Because that alienates people, and there are plenty of people out there that all of us know. Some of us know them better than others. But some of these people, I mean, they're downright rude. And, you know, you say, like, don't shoot the messenger. But the messenger has to be classy. The messenger has to be above board. And the messenger can't be an arrogant, condescending idiot. So don't turn potential followers away by being rude to them. And I'm going to talk to you about exactly what do we tell people about dogs to get people on our side about loving dogs and at least protecting them. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking today about bringing people over to our side, the animal lover side, and not alienating them in the process. Now, I do have a complaint, and I'm not doing this on my Tuesday night for, you know, radio show that is for rescue and shelter, which is called from shelter dog to service dog, because I want to reach the broader public who listens to our show. Here's what I want to ask you personally, you who are listening right now, who are trying to figure out a way to help us all, to be able to have our dogs seen in a different light by those people who don't love animals. Well, here's what we have to do. The biggest thing, this is what I've been working on, and you can do this as well. I work on making sure that I keep my dogs very well under control. I mean, my dogs are super, super well behaved. I mean, they really are the best dogs in the world. Especially if you have a pit, if you have a pit mix, if it looks like a pit, if it's a bull boxer, if it's an English, American bulldog, an English bulldog, whatever it is, keep your dog under control. Please curb your dog. I know this sounds really crazy, but you got to curb your dog, people. You know how many people don't like dogs, or how many hotels and other places don't allow dogs because you have those rude, obnoxious people who don't even clean up their dog's mess or who left their dog on a 30-foot flexi lead. They go up, you know, on your lawn and they pee and poop on your lawn and make all kinds of spots. That is part of what creates the problem where the non-dog-loving American public, even some of the dog-loving American public, has had it. Because some of you guys are pretty rude. Now, you listening, you in your living room, you in your car, please don't get nasty. Don't get vindictive. Just say, hey, you know, buddy, you know, I love that, you know, you love dogs. And, you know, I love dogs too. But, you know, if you don't curb your dog, it gives other people negative feelings about dog ownerships and dogs. And, you know, people might decide, you know, hey, we've had enough. And, you know, we're going to contact our town and have ordinances, you know, put in that might potentially prevent us from having one or two or five dogs. The town I live in, there is no limit to the number of dogs you can have as long as they're well-behaved. And I think that is a really great, great way of looking at it. In other words, if you have 10 dogs, but they're quiet as a mouse, a church mouse, and they don't defecate and urinate on other people's property, and they're not barking at every single thing that happens constantly, and they're well-behaved, and your neighbor only thinks you have one, that's a good dog. You should be allowed to have more than one dog. But those people who, especially, sorry guys, you guys with a little poofy dog, you think, oh, it's only a little poop, yeah, the size of a rabbit poop or a squirrel poop. But you know what the problem is? Even we dog lovers, like we big dog lovers, and I do have a little dog as well, so I love all dogs. But even we big dog lovers, we get irritated with that. Because if you have a Great Dane or a Great Pyrenees or a big giant dog, And if we did that on your front lawn and you had this big whopping poop on the front on your front lawn, or you stepped in it when you got out of the car, you'd be mad at us. Very often, and I'm, you know, just going from experience and from talking to people, it seems like it's the small dog people who sometimes aren't as considerate of others as we would hope you would all be. Well, please consider being considerate to everyone, because, you know, it's like when, you know, two neighbors in a town start, you know, well, your dog's barking at my dog. My dog's all, my dog's good. Your dog's barking at my dog. And then all of a sudden, they go, somebody calls the police, and now it becomes a disturbance that gets the police involved or the town involved. You know what happens? The town starts saying, gee, you know, these dog owners are out of control. We better, you know, change what we've been doing, change our policies, and only allow one dog, and we'll have very stiff, you know, penalties in case somebody does something wrong. Oh, we'll have to have 10-day quarantine on a dog bite, but let's not do it at the people's home where it's free and the dog doesn't get ruined even more. Let's make them go to a kennel that's going to cost them $75 a day, and let's fight with them so that the kennel owner can make all this money. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. That's my phrase. I've trademarked that in a heartbeat. You don't know what you don't know. So please stop fighting against yourself. What's really happening is what the left hand and the right hand are arguing. You're fighting yourself, because any time somebody has a bad experience with you as a dog owner, and this is what's going on with fake service dogs right now, where, you know, you have people who don't know what they're doing. They buy a fake service vest and fake ID online, or they print something up, and they say, my dog's a service dog, and the dog is obviously not. And listen, there's a difference between emotional support dogs and PTSD dogs and physical support dogs and seeing eye dogs and hearing dogs and autism dogs and seizure alert dogs and diabetic alert dogs and hypoglycemia alert dogs. There's a big difference. But one thing that should be the same is any dog who is, quote unquote, certified by any agency, it should be exceptional. It should be the top 0.1% of dogs. It shouldn't just be, oh, look, my dog doesn't bite anyone. I'm going to bring him outside. And the dog is running all over the place and peeing all over in the restaurant. And I've seen things like that. I've seen where I've been on an airplane and, you know, there was another, quote, unquote, service dog trying to attack Wyatt, who's sleeping by my feet. That is not acceptable because, you know, we talk about one bad apple will spoil the whole bunch, right? So you have one person who pretends to do that, have a service dog that's not a service dog. And, you know, you say, oh, it doesn't hurt anyone. Yeah, it does, because the next time somebody comes in with a service dog, they're going to go, oh, I can't prove that it's a service dog. And eventually, you know, ADA is going to be doing something because they can't allow that to happen. It's so important. Don't fake it, all right? If you don't know what you're doing, I mean, you know, cleaning a kennel for a company doesn't make you a service dog trainer. It really doesn't. You know, having an ego or being a narcissist does not make you a service dog trainer. And if your dog is not perfect, yeah, dogs are dogs. I get it. You know, I mean, you know, anything can happen because they're dogs. But at least if you are a legitimate person and you you have a well-behaved dog, then you've got something to start with. You can take your dog into schools, and we do that at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com and at MerlinsKids.org. You can always reach us at 855-HI-WYATT or 855-4-9, 855-4-K-9-PROS, P-R-O-S. And we will help you. We will teach you how you can have your dog become certified through our company, and you can be a legitimate service dog. But the problem is there are too many people, and it's too easy for people to just say, oh, well, it's easier this way, but you don't realize who you're hurting. So it's not just service dogs and therapy dogs. It's also just your general pet. Please be considerate of others. Please don't take your dog into a facility or into a location, and when your dog is out of control, and say, oh, well, you know, he's in training. Well, you know what? If he's in training, he needs to be in much more training if he can't even be around other animals or children. So let's try to join together, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment. Let's join together to put dogs, let's make it the decade of the dog. Let's make 2015 to 2025 the decade of the dog. Let's show the world all the amazing things that dogs can do, finding cancer, helping autistic children, guiding people who can't do things on their own without the help of that dog. Let's band together, all of us pet owners and dog owners, and let's change the way the world looks at dogs. I will be right back in just a moment.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And we have to have our wonderful shout out to the incredible future Dr. Jody Joseph, who is the one who is just such an amazing young lady and is going to be saving many of your dog's lives someday if and when they, God forbid, get cancer. She's up at Cornell Vet School, and boy, is she doing beautifully. So proud of her, and so proud to have her on our team at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids. So, we were talking about PR for our dogs. You know, I think what happens a lot of times is, you know, and it's in any business, but specifically, I think in rescue, what winds up happening, and maybe a little bit in dog show ring, but in dogs in general, everybody has a dog that's better than another one. Think about it. Somebody says to you, oh, you know, my dog is a reading dog. It works with, oh, well, my dog's a therapy dog. Go to the hospital. Why do you have to say that? Why do you have to one-up everybody? Just keep your mouth shut and let that person, you know, have that joy of, you know, and wow, that's awesome. What kind of kids does he work with? Wow, that's fascinating. Stop alienating each other, people. You all do it. I know we do it. So if somebody says, hey, my dog is a therapy dog, wow, that's great. What kind of stuff does he do? Oh, that's amazing. Be happy for that person. And when the person is finished, you can say, you know, that's really cool because my dog's a therapy dog, or my dog's a service dog, or my dog's a reading dog, or my dog's a therapeutic facilitation dog, or my dog is a behavioral intervention dog. That's what's cool. And then that person can ask you questions. Wow, that's really cool. We need to help educate each other. I think what happens is all too often it's a one-upsmanship. And I think that's not a good place for us all to be. Remember, we all love dogs. And more than that, we all like to do stuff with our dogs. And we all hate Michael Vick because he's, forget it, even if he were a good quarterback, which he stinks, but even if he were, he's a bad person. I don't care where you grow up. That's like you learn something bad and it doesn't bother you. You know, I've seen plenty of kids grow up on inner cities and on streets in bad areas, and they grow up fine because there was something inside of them that said, you know something? I don't want to do that because I'm not comfortable with it. And it's like, you know, kids who grow up in a family house where, you know, there's like NRA or whatever, you know, National Rifle Association, And the kids go, you know, I just don't really want to shoot a gun. Oh, come on, let's go hunt it. No, I really don't want to kill something. Or I don't want to do target practice. It's just not my thing. So just because you grow up with something doesn't make it okay. And just because you grow up with something doesn't mean that you're comfortable with it. Now, there are plenty of kids who grew up in families that don't have guns, and they become police officers, or they become, you know, skeet shooters or target, you know, aficionados who are amazing. There are kids who grow up to be what the parents are not. There are kids, wonderful kids, who come from very poor backgrounds with parents who are drug addicts. And there are certainly plenty of really rich kids, most of them, I think, who grow up to be really, really pathetic and, you know, not doing things that they you would think they would be, you know, doing, especially with their privileged background. Well, same thing with dogs. Don't judge the dog by its color. Don't judge the dog by what it looks like. Don't judge it. Oh, it's a pit bull. You know how bad pit bulls are. Because it's not that, yes, I mean, certainly some of them are, you know, not balanced, not stable dogs, and certainly there are a lot of them that are not good, but there are so many that are good. So stop judging, and stop judging the people, too. Just because somebody doesn't understand something and is you know, has an opinion that's counter to yours doesn't mean that that person is wrong. It doesn't mean that you're right. Now, obviously, if we're dealing with dogs, and we're especially like we started to talk about rescues, if you have a rescue dog, raise your hand right now. I see a lot of hands going up in radio land. Thank you. Thank you very much for rescuing that dog. I, too, have a number of rescue dogs. Now, those you can put your hands down now. The people who have the rescue dog, now, if you have a rescue dog, or if you have a dog that you saved from a bad life, wherever it was, then you are a rescuer. It doesn't mean you have to be a cat hoarder or a dog hoarder. It just means that that's where your heart is, and that's wonderful. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have champion show dogs that you're a bad person. It just means that you believe, and as many show handlers and show people also do a lot of rescue, especially with the, you know, the same breed, but, you know, you love dogs. You love dogs. I mean, what's the big deal? Who cares where the dog came from? But one of the things is, when people are rescuers, and I don't know why this happens, you have amazing, amazing rescues like 11th Hour Rescue, which is on the East Coast here. Yeah, you know, EHR is a truly incredible rescue. As a matter of fact, I'm going to surprise them over there this weekend with a visit and work with some of the shelter and rescue dogs over there. But think about it. You rescued that dog. Now, does it matter which rescue you really went to? I mean, honestly, not really, right? You rescued the dog. It's like somebody, I remember when one of my friends was adopting and went to China to adopt. And one of her friends said, why aren't you just going to adopt like a child in the United States? Adopt our kids first. And I kind of kept my mouth shut, but I was thinking, wait a minute, you mean the kid in China doesn't deserve a life, a good life, like the kid in the U.S.? It's a child. So it's a dog. So why do we keep you rescue guys, why do we keep, we got to start our own rescue. I'm going to start this rescue. I'm going to start a 501c3, and I'm going to start a rescue, and I'm going to train these dogs to be service dogs. I'm going to train these dogs to be PTSD dogs. I'm going to train these dogs to you know, fly a kite and, you know, go in a hot air balloon. Lovely. But, you know, especially in the beginning, the way we can stop segregating ourselves from the rest of us, in other words, the way that people who are interested in, you know, saving more dogs, get involved with an established rescue, not a teeny tiny, unless, you know, you've already done it and you've got a good core. I'm not knocking little rescues because I certainly work with a lot of them. But you don't have the resources that the larger rescues have. Get involved with a larger rescue and try to be involved. Like, just starting and going, hey, I'm going to go train service dogs. I'm going to go train PTSD dogs. You don't know anything. You don't have contacts. You don't know how to transport the dog. So you're putting yourself at a disadvantage already because you're already setting yourself up for failure. The groups like 11th Hour and Pet Rescue and some of these larger ones, they already have resources. Now, you may not love everybody in the rescue, although 11th Hour has, like, truly the best people in the world. And our delightful friend Kelly is going to be on the Tuesday night show. Maybe I'll even have her on here on Fridays. But they are wonderful. If you want to volunteer for a rescue, there's a great rescue. There's no attitudes. There's no people, you know, oh, I'm better than you. I've rescued 10. You've only rescued 2. Thank you for rescuing those 2. Thank you for rescuing those 10. Thank you for fostering. But stop fighting each other. And I don't know why it keeps happening, but it does. So let's look at the dogs you have in your house, because almost everybody listening has a dog. Look at your dog. And you tell me if that dog knows if he was a grand champion Westminster winner, like some of my guys are, or if he was a rescue and he came from a really bad background, like some of my guys are. And you tell me if those dogs don't play with each other because one says, oh, you're from the wrong side of the tracks. It doesn't happen. If only we as humans could be as non-judgmental and as loving as the animals we are here to guard and protect, wouldn't life be wonderful? Stay tuned for the next segment. We'll be right back.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. We're having fun today. We're thinking about how we can help many, many dogs by banding together and not segregating ourselves by, oh, I've got a better rescue than you've got. All these dogs, especially the ones from most of us up here, let's face it, we get dogs from down south, Georgia, the Carolinas, Louisiana. So why... just tell me why, oh, why, like the song goes, why do we all fall in love, why do fools fall in love with what we think we should be instead of just falling in love with the dog and saying, hey, you know what, we're all here helping dogs. We're all here to make sure that dogs have a good rap, that dogs are going to be able to be saved, that dogs are going to be able to be rehabilitated. And another thing. Anybody who's listening to this show right now, you can have free help. We at United Canine Professionals, we will help you if you're a rescue or a shelter, if you work with one or work for one or know of one in your area. All they have to do is call us. They can call our 800 number, 855-4-CANINE-PROS. And, you know, all you've got to really do is contact us. We'll help you. So if you have a dog who has an issue, or if you have or run a shelter or a rescue and you need help, one of our certified canine behavior specialists around the country and in 8 countries will also be able to help you, and we'll work with you on the phone. We'll come out to your shelter or rescue and do an event. We will help you so you can help dogs. So, you know, let's just think about it for a minute. If, let's say you're sitting there right now and you're, you know, making your dinner and you're thinking, gee, you know, I would love to do this. How can I help the dogs in my area? Guess what? You can help the dogs in your area, first of all, by advocating for them and not fighting against ourselves. But the other thing you can do is you can put in an application on our website at United, the letter K, number 9, professionals.com. unitedk9professionals.com, and you can look where it says join our team. We have an incredible team. I mean, we are just exploding. And what's great is, although we have to say no more times than yes to people who apply, we do, you know, really have an amazing group of people. And, I mean, we've got an amazing lady named Stephanie who is a dentist, who is changing careers because she wants to do something, not just what she was doing, which I'm sure she was very, very good at, but she wants to do something for herself now. Isn't that wonderful? We've got people all over the world. We've got Carolyn, who's coming on board again. We've got two Karens. We're going to have a very interesting class. We've got some people. We've got somebody from South Africa. We've got people from all over the world. And what's amazing is everyone says, you know, I want to do this for me. And you know what they really mean? These really amazing, wonderful, wonderful people. They don't mean for them. They mean they want to make a difference for somebody else. They want to dedicate something more than money and something more than ego to helping something that can't help itself, animals. And unfortunately, a lot of these animals, you know, unless they are lucky enough to survive a gas chamber, most of these animals did nothing to deserve being where they are. So what happens is, because we're fighting each other, and because this one's no good and that one's no good, and we don't educate people. See, what we do is we actually educate the people who are adopting dogs and make sure that, you know, listen, you're going to take this dog. This is what's going to happen. It could live up to 15 years or more. I just have a client who's got a 20-year-old poodle. And I couldn't even believe it, but the dog is 20 years old. And, you know, here's the problem. We have to stop. Oh, this is the best breed, and that's the best breed, and this is the best mix, and that's the best rescue. We're all rescuers. I am very much a rescuer at heart, and I do a lot of rescues, and we just rescue all kinds of dogs. It's not so important for the breed. There are definitely a few we can't use because of insurance regulations, but, you know, basically, we all love dogs, and you might love a particular breed and have an affinity for that, and that's okay. It's okay not to, you know, feel like, oh, okay, I'm going to be, you know, definitely I'm going to be adopting that dog and that's the only breed I like. It's okay to feel like that. It's okay to say, hey, I grew up with a shepherd, so I want a shepherd. I grew up with a Vizsla, so I want a Vizsla. That's fine. But if, you know, what bothers me, if you want to get a dog and you just want to get a regular dog, not a particular breed, although you can get one of those also for free, or very reasonable at a rescue shelter, please, people, stop patronizing puppy mills. Please stop patronizing puppy mills. Because puppy mills, the people who breed these, you know, I call it, well, I won't tell you what I call it, but the dogs are designer disasters. They are not, you know, nobody's planning for you like, oh, I want to sell you a dog in 10 years or 20 years. They're dumping dogs into a pet store or whatever, or they're calling themselves breeders. And if you're not breeding to better your breed and to make your breed stronger, have better longevity, better temperament, better health along the way, if you're not breeding for that reason, then, and you're not showing or you're not, you know, competing in events to make sure that your dogs are the best that they can be, then you are a puppy mill. Whether you're breeding purebred dogs, like this beautiful German Shorthair Pointer I was just working with last night, who's just a lovely dog, probably had 7 or 8 litters, and she's, you know, maybe 5. But you could see she had had a number of litters. Well, she wasn't, I mean, she was a beautiful dog, but, you know, she was very straight in her conformation. There's no way on God's green earth that this dog would have ever been a show-quality dog. Well, the problem is it doesn't mean that the dog isn't good. The problem is that you're breeding dogs who have either genetic or conformational flaws. And you know what happens? You have dogs that are born, like we had one of our dogs we adopted that was really, it had, you could see it genetically because it was bred, probably the parents were bred and probably there were no genetic tests. This dog was born without hip sockets. And that is unacceptable because that affects that poor dog. So it's not that anybody is, you know, a breed snob or anything like that. But the fact is that if you're going to breed, stop breeding mixed breed designer dogs and like, oh, let's see, what's the next thing we're going to do? Let's breed a German Shepherd poodle. Let's breed a Great Dane Chihuahua Maltese. Let's see what it looks like. Isn't that what Frankenstein and Hitler did? I mean, come on, people. So it's not that the dog itself isn't good. It's that if you're forcing two dogs to breed and you're going to create something that is going to have a genetic issue, temperament issue, aggression, extreme fear, why are you doing that? You know why? Oh, look, they sell for $600 a piece and I make money like that. That is wrong. So please have a conscience. Go look at some of the dogs that you people are breeding, not you who are listening, but the people who are just breeding indiscriminately and just trying to make money on it. Go look at dogs that are born without hip sockets. Go look at dogs who are born with Chiari malformations of the brain, things like that. That is only because the genetics are so poor, because people are just breeding things, breeding father to daughter, mother to son, grandfather to granddaughter. It's wrong. So please, that's who we have to go against. Let's all band up against puppy mills who are breeding designer disasters. Let's not go against each other. We all want to help dogs. We all want to save dogs. And we all want to make a difference in the life of dogs. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. All right, well, we're going to have our final segment a little less passionate than the previous ones, but it is really important for us to stay really focused on the fact that dogs need homes, and we have to, as a society, think about this and say, hey, you know what? I want to be a part of the solution. I want to help dogs. So let's educate people not to buy dogs at pet stores. Sorry for those of you who own pet stores, but you know what? You know, go get legitimate breeders who are going to, you know, sell you a puppy. I don't think you're going to find too many. But the key here is we all have to come together and we all have to make sure that we help dogs, all dogs, purebred, mixed breeds, rescues, dogs that we purchase from a legitimate show breeder like myself. And, you know, that's the whole thing, is we have to make sure we do things the right way. I knew somebody who used to breed purebred dogs, bred about 4 or 5 litters, called himself a breeder, And unfortunately, this person had dogs with really freakish things. I don't even know if he had a Finnish champion. But, you know, to me, if you've bred four or five litters and you can't get, you know, half a dozen champions out of your litters, you're not breeding for the right reason. And, you know, it's always a puppy mill. Sometimes they're well-meaning people who don't know what to do. They have no experience with it, and they go, oh, I'm going to go breed dogs. I want to breed dogs. You know, it's not easy. You have a lot of times where the mother actually can pass away. We've all, I'm sure, had things like that happen. And, you know, so I think what happens is, sometimes people are thinking that things are going to be a little different, then things happen. So, you know, here's the big thing. If you are trying to educate people, the main important thing to do is to teach them, to educate them, not to confront and challenge them, okay? So let's do a little bit of our tip for this week, as we always do. Let's talk a little bit about the temperature change and when is it appropriate to, first of all, clip and groom your dog who has longer hair, especially those of you who, you know, keep a little bit shorter coat on some of your dogs for grooming purposes. And when is it good to start giving the dog a coat? I've heard a lot of people this week, just in general, plus, of course, the people who, I deal with every day, who say, you know, hey, Janice, when is the best time to get my dog his last coat, you know, last puppy cut or last grooming of the season? Well, a lot of that really is determined by your groomer. If your groomer is a really good groomer who can give you, you know, a half-inch cut or a three-quarter-inch cut, you might have to go a little more frequently. But, you know, you can ask your groomer not to give the dog a super, super short cut. That's okay. They can put a different blade and a little different blade guard, and they can groom the dog a little bit longer. So it doesn't mean, oh, you know, I can't have my dog groomed until spring. It just means that keep a little bit more on to keep the body warm then. Now, regarding wearing sweaters or coats, it really depends a lot on the individual dog. With horses, what we try to do is let the coat grow a little bit and get that dense undercoat so that when they do go out, and of course, if you have an indoor dog, it really doesn't matter unless your power goes out. But if you do have a dog that's going to be going out to events, remember, you can always buy them a nice coat. And I have three different weights for my dogs because I have Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and my guys are really ninnies when they go out. And they don't like to be cold, and they don't like to be wet, and it's what they do, you know, but that's okay. So if you feel more comfortable, you know, having your dog, wearing a coat, don't put something super, super heavy or super, super light right away. Now, the problem is that especially with a dog with an undercoat, there's an airspace that the undercoat occupies, which is the way basically that the heat is kept in. So the thick guard hairs in the outer coat on a dog who has a double coat are made to keep the water repellency and things like that, but the undercoat is meant to be fluffy like goose down. So if you look at feathers versus down, the reason there's a difference is that the down is very, very light. There's a lot of surface area that can kind of insulate and a lot of air space and air pockets that insulate the dog. So if you have something, and let's say it's 55 degrees out, you probably don't need something. I'm not going to tell you for your specific dog, but you probably don't need something if the dog has a little bit of a coat on, a little bit of its natural hair coat. But if you're going to start putting something really lightweight on, like a little light sheet, it actually sometimes is worse because what happens is, like with horses, the lightweight sheet will compact the airspace in the undercoat. So even though you think you're putting a coat on, it's actually going to make the dog colder, unless there's some kind of really good polar fleece or something. So it's really important, if you have a short coat dog and you're going to use something, then make sure that you use something that has a little bit of a heat-retaining element, something like a polar fleece or things like that, a fleecy kind of thing, or something that has a little bit of insulation in it. Then I have a midway, kind of like medium, which I use most of the winter. So, you know, it's 30 degrees out, and it's warm enough, and they can play outside. And if they're going to be very active, I don't necessarily have to have a coat on. But if they're going to be walking with me, or when I take Wyatt or Savannah or Whisper, one of my service dogs, out, and I'm going to be out for a little while, yeah, I do really make sure that, you know, everything is okay and that the dog is going to have enough of an insulation. I might use a heavier weight. But for most dogs, a medium weight is fine if the dog is moving, as long as it's not getting wet. You know, the best thing to really do is to have something like a little undercoat, like a little sweatery kind of thing that is able to insulate, and then something else that's on top of it for water repellency. And there are great places like Grandpa's Pet Emporium up in Lewiston, New York, who have different levels and layers of coats that you can purchase. So, again, it really depends on where you live and what kind of dog you have. The key is, don't start, oh my gosh, it's 59 degrees, let me go put a winter coat on, because you want your dog to build up, like you want your horse, to build up a little bit of a winter coat so that he's got some natural insulation. And then when you go out, make sure that if it is wet, you can use like a raincoat type of a thing with a little sweater underneath it. And some dogs are perfectly fine. You might have a German Shepherd or a Lab that has an oily coat, which, you know, obviously the dog isn't going to have a problem if he's used to that. And, you know, some of the dogs go outside and they roll around in the snow and they're laying there and it's like, my gosh, I'm hot. That'll never be a Ridgeback, but everybody has different kind of dogs and different mixes. So be guided by the fact that if you have a dog who has an undercoat, he's kind of got that natural downy protection. So don't flatten that out. But if he's got a very short coat like a Ridgeback, or, you know, boxers have a pretty short coat, and he doesn't have that extra, you know, ability to kind of, you know, insulate himself, then, yeah, you can definitely get some kind of a nice coat. I've got Willow, Wyatt's mother, with his mother, had 22 coats and 30-something sets of boots. And, yeah, well, she had a lot of them. Wyatt only has, like, 4 different coats, and he has 2 sets of boots. But the key is, again, it's your lifestyle. If your dog isn't going out, then don't bundle him up to go out to go, you know, potty for 15 seconds. But if you're going to go down to the park, especially if you're in the city, and we'll be talking about this when we get closer to the winter, you want protection on their feet from all the road salt and all the stuff and gunk that's on a city street. Versus, you know, walking in your backyard where it's just nice, fresh, clean snow. Bigger problem is making sure that you don't over-insulate your dog and get him overheated, and then he can get chilled and, you know, God forbid, get sick. Well, I can't believe it, but it is time to go. Thank you all so very, very much. If you are interested in joining our amazing team of canine behavior specialists around the world, you can contact us. unitedk9professionals.com. If you have any desire to learn how to train service dogs, therapy dogs, or other dogs for specialties including cancer, again, we are happy to help you, and you can contact us either at unitedk9professionals.com or at merlinskids.org. 855-4-CANINE-PROS or 855. Hi, Wyatt. We wish you a very happy day. Happy Halloween. Happy birthday to a very special person in my life, which is tomorrow. And have a wonderful, healthy, happy week. And we'll talk to you next week.